From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 22nd day of October 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, the UN is recommending China increase its food safety oversight. Walmart says it's not waiting for that bureaucracy to be created. The company's implementing its own protection plan. And regulators in 13 U.S. states have moved to block a beef cattle buyout. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then I'll give you the skinny on the projected cost of corn and soybean production next season with U of I farm management specialist Gary Schnitke. Along the way, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us to help finish up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL, that's public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
This is the way the numbers fell out in Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon. Futures in the wheat pit, contract December, 517 and three quarters, down 31 and a quarter. March, 537 and a half, down 31 and a half. And the May wheat at 550 and three quarters, down 32 and a quarter. December corn finished at $3.85, down 26. March futures at $4.75, down 27, and the May at $4.12, down 27 and a quarter. July corn at $4.22 and a quarter, down 27 and three quarters. November soybeans $8.59, down 49 cents. January down 50 and a half at $8.64 and three quarters, and the March beans at $8.73 and a quarter, down 51 and a quarter. May futures $8.82 and a half, down 51 for the day. December bean meal at $2.57.30, down $8.50. December bean oil at $33.30, down $2.50. January bean oil $33.79, down $2.50. October live cattle at 91.15, 67 and a half cents lower. December futures there at 91.87 and a half, down $1.10. And the October feeder cattle at $98.97 and a half cents were 30 cents lower. November feeders finished at 98.92 and a half, down 52 and a half cents. December lean hog futures 57.65, 12 and a half cents lower. The February contract at $63.77 and a half cents. Feb lean hogs down 75 cents on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like on this Wednesday afternoon. December crude oil futures are currently trading at $68.35 a barrel. They're down $3.83. The January futures at $67.55 are $5.09 lower. November ethanol futures $1.66 and 4 tenths, seven pennies and one tenth of a cent lower. And the RBOB gasoline now at 157 even is just about 12 cents lower. November heating oil at 203 and 8 tenths, down 13 and 9 tenths. And November propane is just about even for the day at 98.7 cents. Gold futures, $733.30 an ounce, down $32.80. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 86.13, that's down just about 424 points. The U.S. dollar at 85.36 is up 0.93. The CRB index is currently trading at 268.31, that's down 10.39. And the Goldman Sachs at 445.22 is just about 28 points lower on the afternoon.
1,200 listeners, including 117 agricultural supporters, contributed more than $212,000 to WILO Radio during our just-completed fall membership campaign. 154 made their first contribution. Thanks so much for your support. And if you missed the campaign, you can always contribute online at WILLpledge.org on our secure website. Again, thank you.
And once again, thank you very much to all those who pledged their financial support to this radio station, WILL AM 580, bringing you agricultural programming, not one, not five, but 6 days a week right here on this radio station. And thank you for the more than $211,000 in 5 days worth of donations.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
WILL programs are made possible by the iCorn.com Seeds of Knowledge Video Scholarship Contest. Farmers nominate students who make a 90-second video and compete for a share of $30,000 in college scholarships from iCorn.com. More information is available online at iCorn.com.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Time to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
My wife is on her way to the FFA convention in Indianapolis today. Congratulations to all the folks across Illinois and Indiana and the Midwest that are making their way there. But I think more importantly, she called me about 12 miles outside of Indy. She had to fill the vehicle up. Gas was $2.49 a gallon. And I guess that's reflective of what's been happening in New York.
Well, tip of the hat to the FFA. I was a member, and I loved every minute of it, and I do a lot of wonderful things for the agricultural community in the future and, of course, in the past, too. Well, it was a very interesting day because, the meltdown took place last night, and it was based on the stocks and also crude oil. And one comment that they made on CNBC here a few minutes ago that half the liquidation that's taking place in the commodity and stock markets coming from the liquidation of hedge funds. And one analyst asked about where is the money going, and they said evaporation. And it's because of over-speculation and unregulated instruments. And one also comment was that the president of OPEC says there's ocean vessels loaded with oil that we can't find a buyer on. And Friday there is a meeting with the OPEC members, and, of course, it's going to be a hard sell to reduce production a million barrels a day, but somebody has to do it, and it looks like that Saudi Arabia is probably one of the big players in that area. A lot of jawboning about the price of the commodity, and also the energy was one reason why the crude oil was down 7% today. There is a difference, in my opinion, between this market today than the market when Lehman Brothers went under and Goldman Sachs and then under the problems with Congress passing the legislation. Is then it was a panic depression, and of course today it's more of a recession type of atmosphere. And I don't think we see the intensity or the market being near as frustrated or scared, so to speak. So there is a tremendous difference, even though the market did close lower today.
EIA, that's the Energy Information Administration, by the way, made the announcement that inventories of oil had jumped by 3.2 million barrels last week. And that was 2.9 million barrel increase expected over what most people had expected. So those numbers are working their way into the marketplace and have had an impact, I suppose, in Chicago as well. Futures there on commodities all followed it lower.
Well, and, of course, I think the emphasis should be made that, you know, the three markets, of course, the dollar, the crude oil, and, of course, the stock market, and then the poor old commodity market gets pushed down. I think we're pretty close to commodities in Chicago hitting a major bottom. And, of course, the stock markets in Argentina and Brazil really did get beaten up today, and we are getting reports that, smaller corn acreage being planted in Argentina, basically less inputs on fertilizer in the Brazilian bean fields. And then we continue to get this story about this winter storm of 35 to 40 miles an hour winds in the west and also maybe some snow and 1 to 3 inch rains. But the yields on the beans west of the Mississippi seem to be very disappointing, and we do think the next bean crop will be smaller as a result of that. If we do get a good survey, and hopefully we will get that done. The corn, I think, is going to be pretty close to what the USDA said the last time.
Which has more upside potential at this point? If Argentina is not going to put a crop, as much of a crop in the ground for corn, and it's unlikely that there will be an increase in the number of hectares that soybean goes onto the ground in South America in general, Which one would you favor to go more friendly?
Well, also, you know, one informed source today said, you know, in North America and South America, you know, we need to raise the bean acreage about 6 million acres just to meet next year's demand. But the big factor, of course, is smaller acreage being planted in new crop corn is the support in the corn market.
Right.
And, of course, if we drop the bean yield a bushel to the acre, then we are looking at a carryover that's going to be a lot more very tight. And, of course, my opinion in that situation, soybeans will do it. But one of the best things that we will see, of course, is probably with a new president and new Congress, we're going to see major legislation on reforming Wall Street and hopefully help agricultural policy and also help ethanol and the blending and things like that, and those will all be stabilizing the marketplace. The big if is can OPEC basically cut oil production a million barrels a day, and will that bring stability to the marketplace? And I'm sure they realize they have to do something.
Just a few seconds left. Any worthwhile advice to pass along to producers as they're harvesting?
Well, I think they're doing a wonderful job. We're getting a lot of phone calls. A lot of the corn buying in the corn area is people that have oversold past production for this year and next year.
All right, thanks much.
Have a nice one.
And that's Paul Cooley with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Dave Dickey is here now. He'll help us take a complete look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the United Nations has released a report recommending China increase oversight of its food safety system and hold businesses accountable for their products. The UN says China needs a unified regulatory agency and a place consumers can go for reliable information. Meanwhile, Walmart says it's implementing a slate of stringent environmental and safety mandates with PRC suppliers. Regulators have filed a lawsuit to block the world's largest beef processor from buying the nation's fourth largest operation. The Department of Justice and Attorneys General from 13 states want to stop Brazilian beef producer JBS from acquiring Kansas City-based National Beef Packing Company. The lawsuit says the buyout would complete a fundamental restructuring of the U.S. beef packing industry. The National Commodities Supply Corporation is projecting Brazil will plant between 21.5 million and 21.9 million hectares of soybeans this season, an increase of up to 3.2% from last year. Output is projected at 61.2 million metric tons. CONAB projects Brazil should produce between 55 and 55.9 million metric tons of corn in the 2008-2009 growing season, down from production of 58.6 million tons a year ago. China's Communist Party has approved a measure that will allow farmers to lease or transfer their land in a change aimed to raise rural income. The policy change stops short of outright privatization, but sets up markets to allow farmers to subcontract, lease, exchange, and swap their right to use land. And seed trade officials say they are shelving the Market Choices program, which included markings on seed bags and other containers for hybrids carrying unapproved seed. Seed companies are frustrated by a lack of tolerances for unapproved GM traits in the European Union and a lack of sales to EU countries. The EU Commission says it will not change its zero-tolerance policies on grain not yet approved for importation, either as food or feed, for the foreseeable future. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. If you haven't read yet Dave's weekend newsletter on marketing, it's a good one. You should sign up for it. It's over on our website, and it's free. Just hit subscribe on the right-hand side of the page at WILLAG.org. That's WILLAG.org. Up next, the University of Illinois has published its 2009 cost of production budgets. I'll have more on the $180 per acre expected increase in the farmers' cost to grow corn next season, and whether or not that still gives it an advantage over growing soybean in central Illinois. The Illinois Ag Economist have put pencil to paper, or as the case may be, the Excel spreadsheet to the screen, and come up with some projected cost of production to grow corn on a central Illinois farm in 2009. The numbers aren't pretty. The costs are up $100 an acre from 2008, says University of Illinois Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnittke.
The big two costs that are increasing are fertilizer and seed. And the big one is fertilizer. And as we all know, fertilizer costs have escalated quite dramatically this year. In our budgets or projections for 2009, we're using $1,000 anhydrous ammonia costs, $1,000 phosphorus costs, and $900 for potash. And those are actually pretty middle of the road projections right now. But those, if you use those costs, we're looking at a fertilizer cost per acre for corn at $210 an acre for next year.
That's an 80% increase, up some $95 per acre from the 2008 Illinois estimate. The seed costs are projected to increase by $43 to the acre to $103. And the projected total non-land cost to produce an acre of corn on a central Illinois farm with 191 bushel to the acre yield is?
We have that projected at $553 an acre of non-land cost. And it's that's every cost except land. So of that $553, you would have to add on your land cost, which if it's a cash rent farm, you'd add cash rent onto it. This land probably would you know, be looking at $200 cash rent minimum. That'll probably be about the average for this type of land in 2009. That would, you know, be $753 an acre of non-land cost, and we could go up from there, actually, if you are, you know, higher cash rents, higher fertilizer cost, and other items than what we're budgeting for here.
That puts the break-even corn price in the $4 range. So the Farm Doc team at the University of Illinois puts the total cost of producing an acre of corn on a central Illinois farm at $553 per acre, plus another $200 land charge, and estimates it'll take at least $4 a bushel to make growing corn break-even in the 2009 season. Gary Schnittke and his colleagues also figured the non-land charge for soybeans.
We're coming up with a total cost there of $324 an acre. So, and that is also going up from last year, and it's going up by last year we would have projected it, or this year we would project it at $239 an acre, so we're going up about $85 an acre.
Schnittke says soybeans are going up less for two reasons.
One is on the fertilizer side, they're not using nitrogen, so they don't have the large nitrogen cost increases. And seed costs are going up about a little bit less percentage-wise, but we're coming up with a seed cost of $55 an acre for soybeans, which is, you know, about half of what it is in corn.
Given that, the Illinois Ag Economists say it does not mean farmers should plan to lean more heavily towards putting soybeans into the ground in the spring of 2009. This is despite the rumblings in the countryside that the soybean might be the better budgetary option.
We don't see that in our budgets. If anything, corn is still much more profitable than soybeans. And in the current budgets we're looking at, just plugging in, and these are really conservative prices, $4.80 for corn, $11 for soybeans,
mm-hmm.
using those relatively, you know, low prices and favoring soybeans rather than the corn, we're coming up with there being a $94 advantage for corn over soybeans.
That is a distinct advantage. By comparison, from 2000 to 2007, the edge for corn was about $45 to $50 an acre. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Time to take a look at the cash grain market. Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana, joins us today. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Farmers must be moving along very quickly, I would think, there to nearly wrap up harvest. How far along are they?
Bean harvest is all but done. I think you'd be hard-pressed, actually, to find a field. We've been maybe 10 trucks a day, and we're open 15 hours, so 10 trucks a day at the most of what we're seeing. Corn harvest, for the Climbers area, we're probably right around 35% done. Delphi area, we're probably getting closer to 60 to 65% corn harvest done.
So they're moving quickly in a couple of places, and I would think that the lines are pretty strong at both of those facilities then.
We have some steady flow. Luckily, we've made some improvements here, especially the ethanol plant, to get guys in and out with some faster scale or a new different outbound scale, and kind of restructuring the flow here. So we haven't experienced as much lines as you would think, but there is definitely a constant flow coming in here.
And are they happy still with what they're seeing as they get later into the harvest season?
Guys are still ecstatic, what they're saying. I think right in this area, we're probably going to average better than we did last year, which if you asked me that in August, I would say there's been no way. But these genetics here have really standed the stress that we gave the crop here in August and, first half Sep, and really have, performed very well.
Yesterday, Mike Barwinski at Louis-Dreyfus told us that it was a pretty tough time for ethanol production facilities. Are you doing well there?
Ethanol, we got, with guys who are working in the spot market, the margins are ugly at best. When we're kind of the philosophy, when we see our crush in there, a year, 2 years in advance, we're happy to take it. We have goals, and we'll put different percentages on at different levels and just be happy with it, even if, say the market moved a different way and we see, phenomenal crushes, we'd still be happy with what we had on because, in the long term, we knew that this market wasn't going to stay at, 50% returns forever. So going out the next year when we don't have our full crush on, it does look ugly. And it looks to the point that you're going to see some consolidation in the industry.
And so consolidation, who's buying who, do you think?
I think it's going to be awful hard, especially with the credit squeeze, for some of these newer co-op-owned or smaller company-owned plants to get the working capital to keep their plant operating. I mean, for the plants that were paid off during the and got in ethanol early, they're probably set. But for the guys who got here within the industry in the last 2 to 3 years, I think they're going to be awful hard to go to the bank and ask for a couple $1 million to get their plant running on negative margins.
All right. Thanks much. No time for your numbers. I'll bet their base is only home anyway. But thanks much, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Matt Blaisdell. I'm Todd Gleason.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. After more than a year under two interim chiefs, the University of Illinois Police Department will have a permanent replacement at the first of the year. Pending trustee approval, University of Massachusetts Police Chief Barbara O'Connor will take over the U of I department on the Urbana campus. O'Connor is a 27-year veteran of law enforcement with a law degree. She's been the chief in Amherst for the last 7 years. O'Connor says she was impressed by the department and the cities of Champaign and Urbana when she visited, and she's making the move for the challenge. A federal mediator will join the next round of contract talks between the Eastern Illinois Area of Special Education and its employees.
The cooperative assists in teaching children with disabilities in 8 counties from its office in Charleston. Talks have failed to lead to a deal since last summer. The union says salaries and insurance are sticking points, but the director of the agency is confident they can come to an agreement. A poll conducted for the Chicago Tribune finds 2 in 5 likely Illinois voters say they're worse off financially than they were a year ago. Statewide, 52% say they'll spend less on gifts this holiday season than they did last year. Only 1% said they'll spend more. Half say they have very little to no confidence that steps taken by the federal government to stabilize financial markets will fix the problem. The error margin is 4.4 percentage points. The Illinois Department of Transportation has installed its first memorial sign authorized by the state to recognize a person killed by a drunk driver. The sign was made possible by a bill called Tina's Law, which was named for Tina Ball, a construction worker who was killed on Chicago's south side on I-57 in 2003. The Illinois Senate's top Republican has been released from the hospital after suffering a stroke. A fellow lawmaker says Minority Leader Frank Watson is doing well and making jokes. Watson suffered a stroke Friday that aides described as very minor. He was hospitalized over the weekend in St. Louis. Senator Christine Redonio says Watson is undergoing rehab and his speech has been affected somewhat. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Listening to the Closing Market Report, it's a Wednesday afternoon. Time to talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, looks like we're going to get more rainfall.
Boy, it's a broken record anymore. You know, speaking of records, we've already seen the wettest 12-month period that we've had across the heart of the Midwest, and, we're working on a couple years' worth here, I think, at this point. The wet weather bias is certainly going to be with us for a little while longer. We've got this upper-level low-pressure system that will be moving across the region over the next several days. It'll take until Sunday morning, probably, for the eastern Midwest to finally clear out. Of course, there's no rain over there at the moment, but it will be developing over the next day or so. We do anticipate a pretty vigorous snowstorm to occur out there in hard red wheat country in the central plains over the next 36 hours. Already, we've got some pretty heavy snow and rain starting to fall in parts of central Nebraska. This storm system is going to produce some substantial snow accumulations overnight tonight and early tomorrow morning out that way. We're going to likely see some strong winds of sustained wind speeds over 35 miles per hour, some stronger gusts. We may end up lodging a small portion of the corn crop that hasn't been harvested out there in Nebraska and some neighboring areas in Kansas. In the meantime, we're going to stress some of the livestock there. In the eastern Midwest, though, or in the heart of the Midwest, for that matter, we're not going to see anything quite that intense, but we are certainly going to see widespread rain across the region, and that's going to be most significant in Iowa and Missouri as we go through the night tonight and then crossing into the heart of the Midwest tomorrow. And probably Friday will be the peak of the wetter weather for the eastern Midwest with gradually improving conditions Saturday and Sunday. Then we bring on a bunch of cold air for early next week with hard freezes likely in a large part of the Midwest and perhaps a little bit of snow across the northern parts of the region.
Wow, rain and cold here. Is it better in South America?
Yeah, I hope so. It is better in South America. But, they've got some of their own problems down there. There's two issues that I think we need to talk about. The first is in western parts of Argentina. Just like last year at this time, the rains have been rather poor in some of the key grain and oilseed production areas in the west, which includes Cordoba and Santiago del Estero, as well as southwestern Santa Fe. I don't know if everyone's familiar with all those states, but that represents about half of the summer crop region, and they do need to see better amounts of rain. It's still early in the planting season, so it's not a big crisis at the moment, but something to keep an eye on. And then, of course, in Brazil, the seasonal rains are a little slow getting started up in the north, and it's not a big issue today, but a couple of weeks from now, if we haven't done better with rainfall, it might be a little bit more of an attention getter for the marketplace. They do need to see widespread rain across northern parts of the country in order to get the soybean crop going into the ground.
Any other hot spots around the world we should discuss?
Australia is probably the other area. Australia is trying to finish up their winter wheat crop with its reproduction across the south part of the country, and it looks like Western Australia and South Australia, which are two important grain-producing states, have been running quite dry here recently. They will both get rain within the next week to 10 days, with South Australia last to get it. But there will be some relief that comes up for those areas, and that should help to prevent any further decline in production potentials there.
Drew, thanks for taking the time today.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. You have a safe afternoon if you're out there harvesting. Make sure, if you haven't already, to take just a little break. It'll help you get through the evening hours well-rested and stay on that combine if you can. I'm Todd Gleason.